Welcome back to the Perth Business Podcast. If you're a returning visitor, hello again. And if you're new, welcome. I'm Taryn, your host, and I speak to the innovators, creatives, and thought leaders in Perth in order to help you build your business better. Whether you're starting something new, or you're trying to get through a challenge, or grow, someone's definitely been there and done it before. So grab your cup of coffee, settle in, and let's get started. Cheers. Cheers, everybody. There we go.
Yes.
For the ASMR, for the... You guys need an hour after the podcast to use the room. Okay, awesome. Hello, welcome to the Perth Business Podcast. Thanks, guys, for dropping in. I'm so excited to interview you all. It's going to be great.
Thank you so much.
I was going to say, we're excited to be here.
Yeah. So many voices. I feel like I usually interview one person at a time, so I'm keen to have a little bit of noise on this one. So don't hold back.
Oh, I don't know.
She's like, let's go.
My turn.
Step aside, boys. Would you like to start, Juliana, and let us know a little bit about who you are?
Yeah.
Maybe give us the rundown, your name, your role, and then we'll go through and we can come back and get your backstory.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Juliana. I'm a marketing assistant at PS Digital and I'm in my final year at university studying a Bachelor of Commerce and majoring in marketing.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm Michael. I'm the marketing supervisor at PS Digital. I'm now a year and a half graduate of Curtin University as well. I double majored in economics and marketing for my Bachelor of Commerce.
Awesome.
And my name is Royden. This is also my final year at Curtin doing a double major of business law and marketing. And just very recently finished my internship with PS Digital and just starting becoming an assistant.
Amazing. I, first of all, can't believe that you guys are still at uni, like, working. That's a foreign concept to me, and I'm keen to dive into that a little bit. So what's your working relationship? So how do you guys work with each other? What's the setup at PS?
I'd say I'm predominantly the one that handles marketing, like, oversees most of what goes on. Mm-hmm. And we kind of bring people in for different roles that they kind of specialize in, so... Juliana at the time did also start off as an intern, but we found that she was really good when it came to content creation or just being creative and bringing ideas forward to the team.
Yeah.
So we took her on after that because we were just like, no, we can't let this one go away.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And then funnily enough, we took Royden in earlier this year. Oh, sorry, early. Yeah, earlier this year, right? Yeah. Earlier this year. And
2023
then,
still? Can you believe it?
Feels like it's gone so quickly.
Right, yeah.
We took him in earlier this year. He did his internship with us and we're also just like, this is too bright of a mind to let someone else have.
Yeah. So, yeah, so now your heads are really big. We're going to ask you a bit more about yourselves. Royden, do you want to tell me a little bit about you've already told us what you're studying. Mm. What is your background? Are you from Perth? Do you live here?
So this one's always a fun one because a lot of people will guess where I'm from,
but they'll never ever get it right.
But I was actually born in Jakarta, Indonesia. Uh-huh. Half. My dad is Australian, but his family is Scottish. Mm-hmm. So I was born there, came here when I was two, and I was pretty much raised here.
Wow.
But a lot of people will not guess that that's where I'm from.
Yep.
Yeah, just schooled here. And what was the other question?
Well, it's just around like your background. So is your family here all together?
Yeah, so I got family in Jakarta. Mm-hmm. I got family in Melbourne.
Oh, wow.
But my mom and my dad moved here in Perth because in Melbourne, as great as it is, hay fever, like the seasons, it's really kind of messed up over there. It's war.
Yeah, right. I can attest to that. It's crazy.
It didn't compat with my dad, so he moved to Perth.
Oh, bless. That's so funny. I feel like everyone starts in Melbourne and they have a good reason, air quotes, for leaving. Like, we lived in Melbourne and my mom was like, it's the weather, I can't do it. So they moved us to Brisbane, where it's like the complete tropical opposite. And now we live in Perth because of the weather, air quotes. So I get you. That's awesome. You're basically a Perthian then, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Let's go, Michael. Give us a little bit of your... Are you a Perthian?
Yeah, I'm born and raised here. I guess if you wanted to ask my ethnicity or something like that, both my parents are Italian, Sicilian and Calabrian.
Yes.
But, you know, I, as much as I am patriotic to being Italian, obviously I love Perth. I feel like it's probably, how do I say it? I guess it contradicts what most Perth people would say about Perth, because it seems like everyone wants to kind of get out of here.
Maybe that's your generation. We'll get into that a bit as well. But yeah.
I'm kind of just like, actually, you sit back and really soak in what Perth's about and the culture and the people. I think a lot of people would be like, actually, that's where I would want to be.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah,
awesome. Okay, cool. So two Perthians, but not like what, first generation Perthians, I suppose.
Yeah.
Juliana, what about you?
Yeah, so I'm actually first generation here.
Yeah.
My family's from Vietnam, but I've lived my entire life in Perth.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
That's wicked. I find it so interesting when I speak to business owners and people on the podcast, and this is the first time I've spoken to a group of non-business owners in this context. But most of them, yeah, don't come from Perth, or they're from like country Perth. So it's like completely two different ends of the spectrum. And it's interesting to hear how they approach like whether or not they like staying in Perth. But the premise of it is Perth is a good place to start a business. And once we get into a little bit more about not necessarily starting a business, but maybe contributing to a business in Perth, that's where your opinions are going to be really valuable on this episode. So let's get stuck in. Okay, yeah. So the agenda for this one is a bit around leaving university, and maybe like a step before that, still being in uni and learning the skill sets to contribute to a workplace and having expectations. So what are you guys, so the two of you that are still in uni, you're in the workplace, which is a little bit of an added benefit, but I suppose you can compare it to working experience that maybe final year uni students have to experience to complete their degree. What are your expectations of the workplace? And then we'll talk about your skills that you're learning at uni. What are you expecting now that you've had a taste of PS Digital?
Do you want to start this one off?
You can start it. I got my water.
I think for a long time, I was always kind of in limbo, or like the unknown, because I didn't really know what to expect from the industry. And that was also part of the reason why I decided to actually like make the effort and take the initiative to look for an internship. And I think that was one thing that was really good about PS Digital, is that they really were good at providing me this sort of clarity as to what to expect.
Sorry to interrupt you. How did you find the internship? Did the uni help you, or did you, you said you took the initiative. How did you find that role?
For Curtin, the internship can be like part of the course. You pretty much have like two options. Pretty much as a mandatory unit that you can either A, do as just a generic course marketing unit,
yep.
Or you can do like prac placement, which is just the internship unit.
Yeah.
And so to do that, you need to actually go to FBL and organize it through the Faculty of Business Law.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because they have like a whole roster of people who are interested in trying to utilizing the fresh young brains.
Yeah.
So they'll have like a whole roster, and pretty much if you do like a pre-interview before the interview, so just so that they can find out who you are, what are your qualities, what are you interested in, and then they try and match you with a business that sought out interest for them as well.
Yeah, that's kind of good practice for an interview in the workplace as well.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So like before, I was pretty lax, and I was just wanting to finish my degree.
Yeah.
But I figured like I really want to go on this and like actually find out what I can expect to get myself ready for after I graduate, because I feel that after you graduate, if you have no experience, it's going to be very hard navigating where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you don't mind me chiming in.
Yeah, go.
I, as someone that had no genuine intern experience, I can get to the whole backstory, but I'll count it as having no genuine interning experience. I probably can attest to the fact that it's really important to take an internship. Like, I felt... luckily enough, I managed to, my first application was to PS Digital, and they were like, he's a bright mind. I think he just kind of needs a bit of nurturing. But obviously a lot of business owners don't have that kind of, those resources up front to be like, okay, we're going to completely retrain him. And I think that's where internships are really important, just to like kind of get your foot in the door straight away, just so you can at least have some kind of expectation of what is going to come from you as soon as you join a business. So that's why kind of piggybacking off what Royden said, I think it kind of helps you, one, figure out what you want to do within the scope, because marketing is such a broad
huge
broad spectrum of things to do, but then two, just like where do you want to go? Like yeah. you can kind of join and be like, okay, I'm gonna be the social media person, and then absolutely despise it.
Yes.
And then and then go, actually, not so much the social media part. I actually really like strategy. So then you become the strategist, and it's kind of like, when you don't have interning experience, unfortunately, like myself, you don't get to have that choice straight away. You're kind of just like, I'm going to take whatever I can.
Yeah, shoehorned into a role. And yeah, to echo that, I did a couple of internships as well and navigated through social media coordinator or whatever it is, or intern, I suppose. And then a non-profit that I then did a lot of fundraising work for, and then the newsletter, so you get a bit of like EDM experience. And then the other one was, I did three, and the other one was like a, we started a website, but the role wasn't that. The role was like a marketing intern. They're just very broad, right? Because they don't really, I found that a lot of businesses didn't really clarify what they needed from an intern when you went through the university, because I went through Curtin as well. And they didn't say, like, we need a marketing intern to write the newsletter. It was just like, we need a marketing intern. Mm-hmm. And now we're doing a website, and now you're helping with that, which is awesome experience. And I like, loved that. Didn't know I wanted to touch websites after I did that. And now I know that I can kind of sit where I want to sit, and I personally despise social media. So I learned that through my internship. What about you, Juliana? So you also did an internship. Was it at PS?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I think I was the intern before Roden.
Oh, that's right, you said.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed my experience, just because, like, you can watch, like, a bunch of videos online. You can Google a bunch of, like, what's it like in an everyday marketer's, like, daily schedule. That's what I did, because I was just like, I want to know what my everyday could look like. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with marketing, it can change, like, every day, which I really enjoy. Like, it's just not the same thing every day. I get to work with different clients every day, create different things. Like, I learned so much. I probably learned more than I had at uni.
Yeah, right.
It was so great, because anything that I wasn't sure of, I could ask Michael or the team and be like, hey, I'm not really experienced in this section. I don't know if I'll enjoy it, but I want to try. I want to, you know, put my foot in, see if I like it. If I don't, I can focus on somewhere else, but at least I know how to do it.
Yeah. Let's touch on what you just said before about you learnt more from, was it Google or YouTube? Anything online than you did at uni.
Yeah.
Let's delve into that. And, like, we're not shitting on universities, but and I'll kick it off so you guys feel like you can be candid. I felt like, because I did 1 year of engineering in Queensland, and then I did, and that was, like, hectic, but we got so much out of it. So my expectation from uni was, like, this is hands-on. I'm going to have to dedicate nights and weekends. Then I did commerce at Curtin. And it was the complete opposite for me. I did not spend any time on campus, whereas in University of Queensland, I was sleeping in that, like, lab every night sort of thing to get through assessments, which is also not the best thing. But I found uni very, like, not very hands-on. I found it really theoretical. I found it for marketing. So, like, they caught us in a lot of boxes, and it was like, this is a car ad. This is what it must tick in terms of boxes. You fail the assignment. And it's like, what if I'm a creative person? What if I don't want to work in advertising as a commerce or marketer? Like, it just didn't do anything for me. I got my degree and I skated out of there after doing my work experience, and I did a lot of jumping between different agencies, and that's where I found I got my most, like, most of my experience. I don't reference anything to do with uni except one PR subject I did that was about ethics, and I've never done that anywhere else. So that's the only thing I reference back to. Shout out to Erin Broderick, legend. What about you guys? So how do you, sorry, do you want to jump in?
I was going to shout out to Erin Broderick.
Yeah. Shout out, girl. Did you work with her, Erin?
No, I just wanted to reinforce the sentiment.
Thank you to that. I feel like we had a similar experience in that sense. So I want to hear from you guys, and please feel free to be candid. So maybe you start.
Pretty much like what I was going to say is pretty much you guys all touched on it essentially. Like, didn't really know where I wanted to go through.
Yeah.
So I went through this, and I was fortunate enough to get to work with the PS Digital.
Mm-hmm.
And they've provided, I reckon, probably like a lot more than I could have ever expected.
Yeah.
Like, we touched on a lot of bases, and I really got to go through the sort of development of trying to figure out what do I actually want and like, where do I want to go in the industry? Because for a long time, part of the reason why I wasn't a huge fan of the degree, I feel like, I mean, no one really like loves their degree. There's probably some out there.
Yeah, some nerds out there. Bless them, we need them.
But you know, it's always like a love-hate relationship. I always thought myself as a creative person, and it's just like what you guys were saying, like, you know, you might think that you're one thing, and then after actually doing it, you might realize that you have passion somewhere else. And that's exactly like what happened with me. I thought I was like a creative person. You know, I would love to do like all this content stuff. I do. Because I did do like a year in film. I do appreciate doing some of the creative stuff, but maybe more so creative things like this.
Yeah.
Something where there's like a lot of interactions, and that's something that I discovered while doing this.
Right.
I got to go and sit in on some meetings, and I really enjoyed the sort of interview collaboration aspect of it, listening to what their needs are, like what they what they want to gain, and trying to be able to figure out and contribute to help them achieve their goal, essentially. And and PS Digital, I reckon it's just like they were really good at providing me with all the sort of like tools that I needed to figure this out for myself.
Yeah.
Which is set the bar pretty high. It's like, I don't know if I were to do another one. Like,
that's so good.
Like, I don't know if I would get the same sort of benefit.
That's really good. When you say tools, can you expand on that? So was it resources, so lots of time with an expert? Was it just including you in things like meetings and exposing you to materials or softwares? What sort of tools exactly?
Yeah, I would say it was probably more exposure. I did get to sit in with a few specialists. I got to run through a couple of like the SEO things, learn about all the functions, how to read the reports, whether the website's dying or not, how to revive it again. But then I also just got to do like a lot of field work. And so maybe not necessarily tools, but providing me an experience so I can develop my own sort of foundation and develop my own gear, I guess.
Yeah.
That makes
sense.
To build on top of or to use or to share with other people.
Yeah. And how did you guys find it after hearing that sort of thing? Like, what do you think gave you the necessary equipment or tools to enter the workforce? Did you feel like you needed that for you in particular?
I would say I had no tools in my toolkit before heading to the
workforce. Yeah, let's get into that. And please help yourself to another Mount Sos.
I've been eyeing them down.
Before we started, you're like, oh, this is kind of empty. What's going on?
Yeah, so I guess I kind of represent a different demographic of students. So
awesome.
For me, my passion for marketing was actually kind of like an extension of my, I guess I would call it more creative side. I'm not a creative person, I'm quite a logical person. But in high school, I did really well at English ATAR, and a lot of that was like, okay, we're going to give you something, decipher it, what does it mean? And I was like, in my head, I was like, that's pretty much what marketing is, right? Like, just show someone a photo and try to make them feel some kind of way about it.
Yeah, problem solving and, like, evoking emotion. And Yeah,
so I was like, okay, I'm just going to do that. But realistically, I didn't think I was going to get into marketing. I was super focused on getting into economics. Shout out to my high school teacher, Mr. Dawson. he, like, really inspired me to get into economics. And I was like, I'm full beans, like, full sending economics. And then you kind of get to like year three of economics, year four economics, and you do this, for me, I did a unit called econometrics.
Yep.
And it was just,
I did that one as well.
It was just like pure, okay, like, no. I was
like, this ain't it. You lied, Mr. Dawson.
Yeah. I was like, no, this is, I can't do this for the rest of my life. So I was like, well, I'm not going to throw my marketing away. Like, this is something that I'd spent the last nearly 4 years doing it. So I was like, I'm going to see where this avenue brings me. But because of that, I kind of got to the end of my degree. I did an internship that I don't want to talk about, just so I don't put curtain, you know, in the mud on that. But
all good.
You know, I got to the end of my degree and I was kind of like, oh, well, damn, like, what do I do now? Because I'm like, kind of like, I'm a fourth year graduate. You know, realistically, people that were when I began with me probably graduated a year beforehand.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, okay, I'm really out of competition here. So I was like, I'll start by picking, I don't want to call it low-hanging fruit, but like a job that's going to give me like stable progress to build some skills. And luckily enough, PS Digital mm-hmm. was the first thing I saw on LinkedIn at the time. So I was like, all right. Or was it not LinkedIn? Indeed, sorry. So I was like, okay, this kind of sounds like I want to do theoretically, like make social media stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it kind of goes along that original thinking of make something so someone feels some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
When I got into it, though, however, it was not like that. There is so much more behind it. And I think if we're going to relate it back to the original question, which is like, you know, what does uni necessarily equip you with it?
Yeah.
I would argue no, but I'd argue that it's not their fault either because the spectrum is so big. They kind of like try to get you like a, I guess, a dip your toes in every pond kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing that's unfortunate about that is it doesn't give you the right experience for, I guess, if you want to call it your passion or your dream, you're not going to be well equipped for that. Like, for instance, I did one Google Ads subject or like,
you know,
only one in my entire 4 years of being there. If I had gone, wow, I really love this, I'm going to become a Google Ads specialist, I would be so under-equipped for that job role.
Right, yeah.
And I actually found, I ended up doing postgraduate. I did a graduate's diploma in digital marketing and media.
Yeah.
And I found that a lot of good experience came from that as well. Like, that was actually where I found, like, this is actually something that I really want to do, like, focused on user design and thinking more behind the scenes, like, all right, if someone's going to make an app, for instance, like, you know, it can't just look good. It has to function well.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of makes you think more about the machine than just the look of the machine. And I think that's where I've kind of started growing a lot.
Yeah, it's that critical thinking element that you don't get in a theoretical classroom.
I that's a pretty good way to sum it up.
Yeah, I feel like, and that's what I was expecting after my engineering stint. I was like, oh, well, we take everything apart and learn how to put it back together. Not in marketing, like I found. What about you, Juliana? So it sounds like you would have a similar background to Royden, but what's your opinion in terms of like your experience on how uni is equipping you for the real world now that you've got a real world taste?
I think, so just like going like way back when I like first started uni, I actually didn't choose.
Way back, what's that, like 2 years?
Yeah, way back.
She's a baby.
But I hate, like, I don't know, I feel like I was pretty lost as well. Right. I actually did 2 years of speech pathology because I was like, oh, I'm really good at human bio, like maybe, I don't know. And then like the pandemic hit and I was like, oh, let's just stick with it. Like, hopefully it'll like resolve itself when I can get on campus and do prac and everything like that. But then I realized, like, sitting in class, I was like, I can't imagine myself doing this for another 5-10 years as a like career. So I like took a little break and then I started making content just for fun. And then I realized like how much fun it is to make content and to like look at how marketing in brands like affects everyday life. And I was like, wow, this is actually really cool. I think I really would enjoy studying this. So I chose to do the degree that I'm currently doing at the moment. And we did learn about a couple of cool things. Like, it's always good to look at the theory behind things, but I think that going hand in hand with my job now or my internship at the time and like my marketing assistant job, I can see where it is relevant, but I feel like my experience at PS Digital has really like solidified my understanding a bit more than I would in class.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like in class, I feel like an example would be like SEO. That would be kind of like a thrown away word. Like they'd be like, oh, make sure like, you know, your posts are optimized or doing hashtags and stuff like that. But then when I actually got to like sit down with Michael on my first like couple days, he was like, okay, so if you want like a post to do well, these are like the analytics we look at on this software. You might want to post at this time, add these hashtags, add this location just so that, you know, you can really see and optimize like how much viewership you get. So, yeah, I just think that my internship and my job have really just refined my skills. And I feel like that's always important when you're doing like a job and like trying to upskill, basically. Yeah.
I love that you learned from Michael as well. Like, it's so interesting when you enter a business. I found when I was just a little green sprout starting in the world, I thought you would have more like in general, you'd have more interaction with the higher level management to understand how the business works. But obviously when you enter a business and you have a role, they try and take you through how your role is going to work. And usually that's a person directly above you or beside you. That will take you through that. And yeah, whether it was trauma bonding or actual like people, not between you two, I'm talking about my experience.
Sorry,
yeah,
sorry,
trauma
Michael.
Bonding. She's sorry, like, you can Michael. Talk to me afterwards. whether it was something like you had to like get someone to help you to learn the ropes because you were stressed or struggling, or the positive spectrum, you're learning and it's the intention of the business to help you learn from the person above you or beside you. That was a much better way of kind of learning from someone's experience when they haven't like forgotten that experience. Mm. So I don't know if you guys would agree with that point on how it matters who you learn from.
I guess I can speak as someone that's learning and also teaching at the same time. I'll give him a shout out. Shout out to my boss, Philip, the creative director at Pierce Digital. When I joined, he was actually quite, I'd say he's probably more patient than most business owners are. Mm. And, you know, maybe it's just a trait that's in him, or maybe it's in other business owners, but I feel like they can kind of see a diamond in the rough. And I'm not saying that I'm a diamond, but
you don't make it to podcast land without being a diamond in the rough.
He kind of saw a lot of potential in me that I guess I didn't necessarily see at the time. And then he was like, all right, I'm going to really work on him. And he started off with just one client, and then one client suddenly became two clients, and then three clients. And now, I mean, going ahead into next month is probably going to be 12 upwards.
Awesome. Like
just that I look after. Obviously, there's more floating around around the company.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So I learned a lot of, I've only been there for a year and a half, realistically. But in that year and a half, I've learned quite a lot. I've obviously matured as a person as well. Because when you're exposed to the working world, you adapt and you build skills that you didn't necessarily have to begin with. And I guess I tried to, soft launch those traits into my team as well. Because it's probably easier for them to be like, okay, he's a Curtin graduate. You know, he's gone through what we went through. He's only a year older than us, 2 years older than us. Mm-hmm. So he can kind of speak from the same experience but make it a lot more relatable.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, I know the Curtin curriculum as well quite well. So, like, before they even come in as interns, I'm like, okay, I already know what they're not going to be taught.
Yeah.
So I'm going to teach them these things and get them a head start.
Yeah, right. Do you wish universities would teach what you taught these two?
Yes. So as someone that did economics and marketing, the way I define it is economics. I mean, I'm a bit out of date now, but
it moves so quickly.
Economics was like, economics doesn't change, I guess. Like, no one's suddenly going to bring out the next theoretical concept in economics and change the world. You know, like capitalism as a whole is a pretty well-defined machine that keeps churning. So once you learn it, you learn it. And I guess, yes, you can keep expanding, get your PhD in economics or all that kind of jazz. But with marketing, even at a theoretical base level, what you're taught could be irrelevant in 2 years' time, 3 years' time. Like, I was taught nothing about AI, and that's pretty much all the rage right now.
Yeah.
So luckily enough, finally, you know, I'm in that crossover period. But like, if I'm talking to someone like 2 or 3 years older than me that had no like basis in AI at all, for them, they might feel completely out of depth.
Yeah.
And like, I come from, I guess I'm like on the cusp of what TikTok generation was designed for, but that's really anti my personality. I'm like, I'm not super against it. It's just like not who I am. I spend a lot of time off my phone.
Yeah.
So for like an instantaneous platform, it makes me like feel like there's too much stimulus in my brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
But that's why I was like, you know, it's not something that I learned from them as well. So it's like, it's kind of like a funnel. And I think Philip taught me that as well. Again, you know, I had a lot of skills, or not skills, a lot of knowledge that I could teach him about marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And he could teach me a lot about just like the working world or like thinking more critically. And I think for them, I give them how to think more critically or think beyond just what you've been taught theoretically. And they teach me things that I don't necessarily know as well. So I think it's just like,
We delved into that concept quite a lot when Philip was on the podcast. Yeah. And if anyone listening wants to go back and listen to that one, you can, because it's like the other perspective of someone who's working with a younger generation and like keeping a business afloat with like the mechanisms of a team that works in different ways creatively and critically as well. You were nodding the whole way through that, Juliana, so I'd love your opinion on the whole, like, working in a team with different creative, like, experiences. You obviously come from a content background and that's your interest. Can I ask what sort of content, like video content or specifically? Or
mostly I thrive on, like, short form content. Mm-hmm. I love making anything, like, short form, like, content wise. So we've done, like, UGC. I've made like some comedic videos just to get like more brand awareness, mm-hmm. just for like our TikTok. Go yeah. look at that too.
yeah, you look at all the ones that she's published, it's the one that got the most views.
Yeah, right. So like she knows the algorithm. Yeah. She's got it. Yeah. It's funny, like I find it, you were saying you're not a creative, was it you saying you're not a creative person? No, you are a creative person. You're the critical, like, logistic. I feel like it's funny to try and like force yourself to be in one of those like mindsets as well as a graduate. Like that is really tricky. So how are you finding it, Juliana, then being a creative, like self-professed and also like proven creative person? Don't laugh. She's creative. Yeah, the data speaks for itself, right? Logically. How do you find being in a workspace and working with people while you've got a toe dipped in uni in the real world, were you expecting to be able to work with such different breadths of people?
I was really hoping so. The reason why, because as Roden said, you get like a list of like places you want to go work for.
Mm-hmm.
What really drew me to PS Digital was that it said that you would be collaborating in a team, and that's what I really wanted to do. I wanted to, even though I'm in the marketing side, I wanted to like see what the graphic design side is like, the SEO side and everything like that. And I feel the way that PS Digital functions is like we're all sitting around a table and we can easily like ask for each other's opinions. And it's not really like, oh, you're in this room, this cubicle, if you need me, come over. Whereas me and Michael, we usually like sit right next to each other. I can be like, hey, Michael, what do you think?
Yeah.
Or like the graphic designer will be sitting next to me. I'm like, hey, like I'm struggling to make this look nice. Can you please help me?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was like really great for me, because then I got to learn about like how to make things look a bit better, because I didn't really learn that practically.
Yeah.
Just like I look at a design, I'm like, yeah, that's a good design, but I didn't know how to actually make it myself.
That's my brain still. I still look at things and I'm like, I know there's something wrong with it and I can give feedback, but give me a blank paper and I'd be like, I don't know where to start. I don't even know what colours to use. Like it's very much like a different, you need to figure out who you are and who you work best with.
Mm.
So I guess my next question for you guys is, how do you think you would go working in a corporate environment? Is that the end goal?
I would like Roy to answer this question, because he said something when he first joined his internship about what he likes to look for in a working environment. I'm not sure if you can remember. I can start you off if you want.
What I want in a working environment? Yeah. Or what do I think about a corporate environment?
We can go with what you want in an environment, and then afterwards we'll go around.
I think because it will juxtapose exactly that question of what it's like working in a corporate environment. So.
Okay. Well,
not to put you on the spot, but here's your interview again.
I'm trying to remember now. So I've done a fair few things. I started working when I was 15, and I think something that I only started feeling recently was what a good working environment is like.
Yeah.
Because for like a long time, since 15, I worked in a lot of like interesting places.
It's very, very conservative of you.
So my first job was working as a kitchen hand at a fine dining Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if many people have watched like Gordon Ramsay or, you know, The Bear. Really good series, The Bear. On
how accurate is it? Are you going to tell us how
accurate? Pretty accurate.
Oh, no.
It was like people, you know, a lot of sounds going on, a lot of yelling, a lot of people yelling behind. Manager's always angry. Customer's always angry.
Yeah, nice.
But I feel like definitely my work experience shaped me a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely helped develop a tough skin.
Yeah.
And it provided me skills, which I feel like definitely benefited me during my internship. Because there was a lot of adapting to be done. I started off as a kitchen hand. I did that. And then on my way to work one day, they told me, like, I need you to put on, like, your best suit. You're on the floor today. I was like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, on the what? Sorry.
On the floor. So I get there. I got my dress shoes on. I'm looking good. And they're like, okay, we have a very important event. There's a bunch of, like, very, like, famous, like, food critiques in terms of, like, wine and, you know, all of that. and Monday, which we never open on a Monday.
Oh gosh.
And so he just like straight away with no training, not even like a quick run through. He's like, it's important. So if you mess up, right, like there's going to be a problem.
Oh, and that's like, terrible dang. Management. That is terrible management.
So, yeah. So I had to learn quick.
Yeah, no pressure.
And then I started doing that. I ended up being like one of the best ones because I stayed for the longest. There was a lot of people coming in and out.
The cream rises.
And so from a very young age, I just adapted very well. I ended up training a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so I can even tell you like how the dynamics work being a young person training an older person because older people don't like listening to a younger person.
Some of them don't. Yeah. And it's in marketing as well. Like if you're talking about Excel and they're like, X what? You're like, ooh.
I had to learn how to go around that. So you had to working there, you really had to figure out how to, you know, not really step on any toes, how to work with people who don't necessarily want to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always gonna be people in hospitality. I think anyone can relate to this, that there'll be people nice to your face, but then they'll talk smack behind your back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I experienced a lot. I worked from there, I went to another restaurant, and then from there, I got a job doing working at checkout at Spudshed. Shouldn't have said that. Spudshed's great.
That's okay. It's your history, your life history.
And then, just worked. I moved through like maybe four different departments.
Mm-hmm.
I went from checkout, and then they said, Royden, you're really good. Can you do grocery? Mm-hmm. I started doing grocery, and then I ended up being like my own store manager person.
Oh.
I had like my own department doing the storeman work, which is all the sort of like entering in the stock and data as like deliveries arrive. And again, same thing. It was good, you know? There's people that make the work worth it, but the environment isn't always the best because there's always people who are just kind of aggressive,
mm-hmm.
and they'll like tell you, and they're very rigid. Without any support.
Yeah, right.
And then there are people there who are just like, you don't want to work with them.
Mm.
You know, you're there, you're doing your job, and then there's always, I don't know, they want something.
Mm.
And I was like, man, I'm just here to get my thing done. I'm here to put the Rice Krispies with the Rice Krispies and the flowers with the flowers. I don't need this right now.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's just like learning how to work with those people and, you know, making sure... without diminishing yourself, of mm-hmm. course, you know? You don't want to diminish yourself for other people's benefits.
Mm.
So only recently, I think about 2 years now, a year. It was on Valentine's Day.
So it was a year and a half. Good memory, now. Yeah.
Yeah, I started working at a bouldering gym, Portside, and it's probably the best, healthiest working environment I've ever been in.
Oh, wicked.
I really appreciate it. And so like now that I know I have a taste of that, I know what I'm looking for, you know? Because in that type of environment, anyone can really flourish.
Yeah.
Right? Because no one's there to connive at you. No one's there to hold you down, put you down. You know, everyone's there for each other's benefit. They want you to do good, and you want them to be their best as well.
Yeah.
And so it's just super healthy. And that was something that I kind of shared in my interview, actually, when they asked me, what do I want? Like, what do I look for in a job? I was like, I am just looking for an environment that is, you know, safe and, beneficial. And that's something I actually really got to experience because it's the same deal, you know? We're all there. It's kind of like one team, one dream, big family. We're all there supporting each other and, like, helping if I ever had, like, an issue, much like what Juliana just said. Like, if she ever had, like, a problem, she just got to ask and she got the help that she needed and, you know, vice versa.
Yeah.
So in the corporate world.
Yeah, I can piggyback off that. So that's pretty much I think the reason why a lot of interns made, like, I can only talk from a very small sample pool, but the reason why interns are kind of drawn to our company is because that's what we kind of label ourselves as. Like, you're saying, how would we all function in the corporate world? Well, the reason why we're not drawn to a corporate job is for that reason. Like, for me, obviously, with the economics background, I know kind of how corporate, I can like figure it out quite well how I'd feel or how I'd perceive a corporate job would work, which is you're there to aid the bigger picture, but
you're like a number.
You're insignificant. Like, you contribute to it, but you're insignificant in the broad scheme of things. And I think, I feel like a lot of people kind of like, I guess maybe it's like they're changing the younger demographic, but they kind of want to be acknowledged for the efforts they put in now. Like, they don't want to just go like, all right, I'm going to earn $80,000 a year.
Yeah.
Sure. But like, no one's going to recognize me. Everyone's just going to like belittle me behind my back, or they're going to be like, you know, you got deadlines, be at the, like, Yeah. For us, it's kind of like, yeah. We obviously we have deadlines. We're like we are our workplace at the end of the day.
Oh yeah.
But like,
agency is hectic. Yeah.
But we work for like again one team, one dream. Like you know we work for one another. We don't work for ourselves, which I feel like when you're in a corporate setting, you're not really unless you're like super into that. Which you know, no disrespect if you are. If you're super into that, normally you just work for yourself because it's a financial gain, right? That's that's the main motivation there. But for me, especially with PS Digital, my motivation is to accumulate skills and help out more Perth-based businesses. Like,
yeah, that's a really interesting perspective because I feel like corporate has the stigma that you are just going to be a number and you get put in a little cubicle or a little box and you work on your own and you it's perfect if you want to just get by and like work your way up the ladder. And that's not to say you can't do that at agency because the next step for you would be like management or higher management or, you know, an operations sort of role, that sort of climbing that ladder in that sense or moving on to a bigger agency or starting your own. So like I feel like that it's a really good sentiment and a good point that you acknowledge that recognition is super important, especially for this generation, because there is a lot of banging heads against walls when a generation in a company has you know, has had to deal with a new gen coming into the company and being like, what do they want? I can't figure out why they want all this flexibility. They don't have kids. What's going on? Because in their day, flexibility was about taking time off for your kids or whatever, because in that society, in that time, people had kids younger. They had, you know, more restrictions on which parent could actually go and look after the kid, so to speak, as an example. But now it's a bit different. So how would you guys, and I don't know what your opinion would be, Juliana, but around what younger people want in the workplace. And I think this will be super valuable for employers. So try and think of people that you'd be speaking to that might want to hire you in the future. Like what would you want them to know that you want and make room for it in their company?
I think for myself, the one thing that really motivates me is acknowledgement and a little bit of praise.
Mm.
So for example, one of my best feelings is when I've like completed a video and I show it to someone and they're like, oh, it's great. Like, that's amazing. You did it such a good job. Like, even just the other day, I showed Michael one of my videos that I did in my spare time for one of our businesses. And he was like, that's great. I'd use that. And I'm like, oh my God, really?
Yeah, got me.
Yay. So I don't know. It's just reaffirming that I'm doing like a good job and that I'm on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
So by telling me that I'm like, you know, doing well, I'm on the right track, that means I can keep going, doing the same things or like making it better to make, I guess, the upper people a bit more proud.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest points. Another point is like understanding that people come from different backgrounds, different situations, experiences, and not everyone functions the same way. So for example, the other day, I was, you know, overloaded with a bunch of stuff that happened and I just told Michael, I was like, hey, I'm unable to do like this video this week. Is that okay? And he's like, yeah, that's okay. That's no worries at all. Like, hope everything gets better. And I just felt really reassured at that time and that like a lot of pressure was like off my shoulders.
Mm.
And yeah, it's just like even if I work with like other people from different backgrounds, like even in my like retail jobs and stuff like that, I get to meet so many different peoples and like how they function is always different, but it's always good to like learn and then always adapting that to different workplaces as well and bringing what I've learnt into another workplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like support and recognition. I have a question for you, but did you want to add on to that?
I was going to say I would like to add on because I actually have a very different upbringing.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess maybe it's like an old school Italian mentality, but it's kind of just like work hard and that's it. Like that's what we're instilled from a very young age. Like my shout out to my dad.
shout out
left, right, and center.
He was just like, he's like, you've got to be the best. And I guess some people can argue that's a very unhealthy mentality, but I guess
it depends how you wield it. Because from a South African background, I feel you, man. Yeah. Like best or nothing.
Yeah. So like for me, I was kind of like, all right, I'm gonna smash out of the park. And sometimes it's not beneficial to my own like physical, mental health, whatever you want to call it. But like, I think employers need to, again, kind of reinforcing, but showing from a different perspective. You need to understand, like, you need to actually spend time actively understanding who you work for. Or sorry, who you're going to employ, and like how people have different work styles. Like for me, I don't really care so much about praise. I wasn't praised a lot growing up. Like if I did something good, it's kind of like, you can do better.
Yeah, right.
So like for me, it's more like where I get motivated from is seeing my work help other people.
Mm.
So like for me, like I'm like, I can continue surviving like this how this I've always been kind of thing. But like when I help someone else and like you can see like it's meaningful difference for them, that's where I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
My mentality has benefited someone else and that's where I kind of where I get it from.
Yeah,
I'm not
so
saying there's anything wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I think different people have different motivations.
Yeah. This is okay, so this leverages really well into my question. So you're talking about gratification and you guys were talking about instant gratification. So what do you think is there's a key difference in how, and we're not going to blanket a whole generation because this war against boomers and Gen Zs is just insane and not relevant. I think it's just, yeah, people take it out of context. You can say what you like. It depends on your own background, like you just said, culturally or just working style, how your parents treat you and raise you. But do you think the difference between gratification in the sense that if you work at an employment or say a corporation for 45 years and you get that little sticker or badge to be like, well done, thanks so much for contributing, that's their gratification versus someone who gets an instant gratification of like, you were an intern, we love you so much, please stay on with us. And that's enough for you to keep going and keep seeking that instant gratification of like, you know, my video is great, I just want someone to tell me my video is great, then I want a promotion, then I want this, then I want this. Do you think there's value in the difference between that for an employer and recognizing the difference?
I guess I'm a bit biased. I didn't really get instant gratification while growing up. So
and you don't like TikTok, so that's why I ask you.
Yeah. So like for me, I think most people do, but obviously we want instant gratification, but we know it's not going to come. So for me, I'm kind of like, I can hold out for a while and like I do understand things are a process and it's going to go, it's, you know, you got to kind of see the long path rather than just the short path. So like, I don't know, for me, I started off as a casual 6 hours per week, but I was like, you know what, if I do my job correctly and I do it well, I will eventually become an FTE, and I am. And yeah, like that for me is, I guess, a long-term gratification. Sure, you get your little wins along the way that continue to motivate you. Yeah. Like, okay, I went to part-time and then I started working X amount of hours per week.
Yeah.
But I was kind of like, if you're so fixated on a short-term gain, you don't necessarily, you kind of blind yourself to a long-term gain because you kind of, I don't know how to explain it. You kind of like, you keep searching for that one thing that's going to keep like,
yeah,
giving you, I don't know, like a serotonin boost, like a boost, you know, and you're gonna be like, okay, I'm just like that, I'm gonna keep searching for that. But I was like,
dopamine hit.
Yeah, like, but for me, I'm kind of like, you know, I again like if you want to talk TikTok and stuff like that, I can't sit there for like 40 minutes and be like, I'm gonna like be excited about every single thing that pops up because it's just cool, it's like there.
Yeah,
for me, I'd much rather listen to a podcast or like watch a YouTube video that's like 45 minutes long, because even though it's like super, some people can argue it's super enduring to go through that long haul, at the end of it, I feel a lot more fulfilled than watching like something that's 30 seconds long and being like, that was cool.
Yeah, and I guess it's how you absorb information, because I'm a short-term like absorber of information. If I watch a 40-minute podcast, you bet your ass I'll only take out the last 40 seconds and be like, yep, or the like something in the middle that I was like, cool quote, like going to remember that one. So I think it depends on how people learn. It's eye on the prize for sure, but it's also like a matter of the individual, like you guys were saying. So what are your opinions on instant gratification?
I feel like I'm probably the same as Michael.
Yeah, right.
I usually just, from upbringing, I don't expect praise straight away, because if I did something good, there's always like more could be done better.
Yeah.
And that's just like how I am in my work. So oftentimes I'll go to my work and do my work.
Yeah.
So I think for an employer, I think you and Phil probably touched on this in your last podcast about work dynamic. It's a whole bunch of business theory that an employer could look into and read into. But really just having an understanding of your employees' needs and then being able to harness the full benefit from it. So if you have an employee that's wanting instant gratification, it's probably important to be able to understand that and providing that for them, because you know that's how they'll work their best and how they will be able to provide their best quality work. But you also have to understand, from touching on what you were saying before, kind of containing it so that it doesn't become like, you've been saying I've been doing so much good work.
Yeah.
Where's my promotion?
It's been 3 years, buddy. What's going on here? Yeah.
Being able to understand, like, yes, that's what they need, but being able to contain it. So you need to have that balance of supporting your people, but also knowing that, like, you know, there's a direction that you want to go to and, like, cater them towards that. And then for long gratification?
Yeah, long term. I could say maybe the term that we could throw around is planned gratification.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's something that Philip does really well. Not saying like he's a people pleaser, but like he will.
He said he was, so it's fine. You can say.
Okay, so he's a people pleaser. And, but like he will, he think like he plans short term and long term. So like for us, we kind of think a quarter at a time. And he'll be like, at the end of the quarter, we'll all have like a team building exercise, something like that. So it's like something that is a long term gratification. But along the way, he'll be like, if we did something good, he'll be like, okay, why don't we just, go get varsity or something like that
to celebrate.
But like, we know long term, if we keep, suddenly it's 2 weeks, then it's 4 weeks, then it's, you're 2 months through, and then you're like, we're 2 weeks out now from having our team building exercise.
Yeah, reward. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't want to say like we're training like chimps or something like that, but it's
it's a good process. And I think as a business owner, he would have strategically planned that because he knows the long-term goal is to keep and maintain happy staff, because it's not only more expensive to get new staff members on board, it's tiring, exhausting, and you get different results and outcomes. So to maintain the best optimal outcome as a business owner, that's probably, where that comes from, the planning and strategy. What about you, Juliana? Instant gratification, yay or nay?
I do see the appeal of both. I guess I experience both.
Yeah.
In like different ways. So like, for example, I do really enjoy going on TikTok, which these two don't.
Yeah.
They don't really touch that thing.
Yeah.
But I also do love watching TV shows that go on for ever and rewatching it and seeing like what happens.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I've been in work environments before where you absolutely get no recognition at all.
Mm.
You work really hard, but you don't really get any sort of, oh, good job, like congratulations.
Mm.
And so that's what I in my other workplaces as well, I can see like some managements, they really are there to support you.
Mm-hmm.
They ask about like your mental health and all of these things, and like little things just build up.
Yeah.
And in my mind, like I want to do a better job in that type of supportive environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really do love seeing the long end like results of that in being in such a positive environment, whether it be like gaining new clients or improving on our
the business ops.
The business ops, because I've been in like different industries, and you can really see like if you have happy workers and supported workers, they work so much harder.
Yeah.
And then in the end run, it builds the business as a whole.
Yeah.
I guess.
Culture is a trickle down effect for sure. Okay. This has been a really collaborative and I feel like really constructive chat. I can't believe we've been going for like an hour. Let's wrap it up with your working style. So you guys recently did that exercise on what sort of working style you are. Do you remember?
Yeah. Hair and design workshop.
Yeah. So who are you as individuals? What's your working style in a short snippet?
I'm a projector. So a projector, this is the correct one, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
I'm a projector. So pretty much that person is someone who can see some beauty in something and shape it and mold it.
Poet, love it.
Direct it, which I think is pretty accurate, since in filming I much enjoyed. Yeah. I would have the vision, and so I would like to direct it, and then I would utilize the skills from other people to create something, and it works out really well.
I'm a generator, which kind of makes sense, I guess, because for me I just feel like once my head's put down and I'm really engrossed in something, like the output of that is quite apparent.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of just the way I've always been my entire life. So, like, unlike, again, if we're going to compare myself to Royden, I can't look at something and be like, all right, this is how I imagine this is going to be. I can, like, touch on it and be like, for instance, if we were going to, like, make an ads campaign or something, I can be like, this is how I visualize it.
Yeah.
But, like, I'd barely touch on it. Whereas if it was him, he'd be like, okay, this is how I see the entire
the
thing
angles,
going.
Yeah.
Like, and then he just gives it to someone like me, and I'm like, boom, we get that going.
It's made.
Yeah.
So I guess that's part of being a generator.
Yeah. What about you?
I think I was a generator as well. I don't really remember. I just remember like Samala saying that we'd work really well together because of like our, what was it called? The little
Your sacral points.
But I think for me, she said that when I get really engrossed in something, I really, just put my whole heart into it.
Mm.
And I work just super duper hard. And, I don't feel satisfied until I've basically used up all my energy.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. That's so interesting how different you all are. Just after that short little chat, I can't imagine what it's like working with you. Probably really fun. Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat through all of that today. I feel like we could have kept going for another whole hour. But we'll have to touch base again sometime. And I feel like that was really useful for business owners. Any last thoughts before we sign out?
Business owners should, if they are listening to it right now, really have a deep think about who's on your team and think about each of them, what their strengths and what their skills, and really try to optimize that and build on it. And if you recognize weaknesses, try to help them and turn those weaknesses into at least a semi-strength. Because I think once you really empower someone, their output is their output just exponentially grows.
Awesome. Cool. Fabulous.
Guess for me?
Yeah.
I'd say for anyone that's in a likewise situation to really take advantage of pursuing an internship, because it will definitely provide you clarity as to where you want to go. And then for employers, actually, take advantage of that, because it is free labor, but it's also you're getting the freshest sort of minds coming in to bring insights. And if they're ambitious enough to pursue an internship, they're most likely ambitious enough to better your organization.
Yeah. I'd just say for students like me or anyone around my similar situation, really go for any type of opportunities, see who you can meet. Definitely do an internship like me and Royden. It really benefited us and solidified what we've learnt. And for business owners, just be nice to your teams.
Yeah, it starts from the top, so make sure that, flows on to the culture at the bottom. That's awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Perth Business Podcast. If there's anyone that you specifically want to hear from or you think would be great on the podcast, send us a DM on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Or you can email us at theperthbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you here next time.